bless us today. Amen. He has, I'm sure, already. I feel the presence of the Lord here. I am thankful to have an opportunity to look at the Word with you today. Quite a lesson. Have you looked at your... Does anybody like rejection? No, it doesn't feel good. And there's always two sides of that. We could feel it, but we can also cause it. So I know that that wasn't in the lesson, but the Lord kind of talked to me a little bit about it. So we'll get there too. But I'm thankful to be here. Let's pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Lord Jesus, we are so, so thankful to have this opportunity to be together. Lord, there are a few of us missing today, and there are, I'm sure, several that are watching online today, and I pray that each and every one would be touched with your word, not with what I say, but with your word, Lord Jesus. I pray that the word would be alive and would touch the hearts of everyone listening, and we give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our big idea, every time I read that, I want to say, what's the big idea? Anyway, maybe I've been watching too many things with Lily. I think that's a VeggieTale thing. But the big idea today is, even if others reject me, I will still do what God has called me to do. Oh, well, that's for somebody who has a card in their wallet, or that's for someone who is called to preach. That's for pastors. That's for evangelists. That's for those. No. We're all called to do a work for God. We're all called to share what we have with those around us. So, even though we may be rejected, I will still do what God has called me to do. The truth about God is that God's anointing, his touch on our lives, is not based on people's acceptance. Your anointing isn't based on people accepting what you have to say. Our focus verse today, or actually verses, is Luke 4, 18 through 19. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking. He had gone into the synagogue as his habit was. And they handed him a scroll. It was the book of Isaiah. And he was reading out of Isaiah 61. And Jesus said to them that day, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Preach the gospel. Jesus is saying that the Lord had anointed him to preach the gospel, when in reality we know from looking at the story in retrospect that he was the gospel. He is the gospel. But he was reading here in Isaiah that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And then in verse 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Can I interject with a commercial? When I read verse 18, you know what it said to me? It said to me exactly what Sister Annette's doing. Because this is a list of who Beauty for Ashes is designed to help. It is who we are to reach out to. It is those that need us the most. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The text is in Luke 4, 16 through 37. In Nazareth, Jesus grew up there. Nazareth wasn't a big place, so he was well known. And he probably went to the same synagogue that he grew up in, because that's where mom and dad went. That's where his siblings went. And as his habit was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, Jesus did a lot of things in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as you read about his ministry, that people, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want done in the synagogue on the Sabbath, especially. He healed and he ministered and that. But he went to the synagogue like his habit was. He went home to visit. Do you like to go home to visit? You live at home? I like to go home to visit. No, my home is right here. But there is just something about going back home, where you were born and raised, where you spent time. I have several places in the lower 48 that I like to go visit because I've lived there in the past. And I've, you know, had some experiences there. I remember a trip that we took, my husband and I took Amy on with us. Poor Amy. Oh, my goodness. We drove all over town pointing out houses and said, this happened there, and this is where Grandma and Grandpa lived, and this is the house that your dad did all of this stuff in, and all of this, and this was the first church, and this was the tree that, you know, this picture of myself with my family was taken. The house is gone. But, you know, and you go through, and I bet she was bored to death because didn't mean a thing to her. She grew up here. Not here in Sterling, but she grew up in Anchorage. And she had no connection. As a matter of fact, she really doesn't like that part of the country because it's flat mostly. And you can see for a really long time, a long ways, you can see a long ways. There was mountains on the west side of town. But she felt like she was vulnerable, and my husband and I, driving through that flatland, the high prairies of Wyoming, feel like we can just, we can take a breath because it's not closed in. Like so many places here in Alaska, you can, the mountains tower over you. And if you're in Seward, they tower over you on both sides. And you know, so there's places, and we have this connection to home. And Jesus had a connection to home. And he wanted to go home. And so he went to visit. And did he get the reception that he was expecting? Well, the God in him knew this was going to happen. But the man, Jesus, did not get the reception that he wanted. They didn't mind what he read in the synagogue. But if you read down a few more verses, he reminds those religious leaders that the prophet, I think it was Elisha. I could be wrong, but no, it was Elijah. The prophet Elijah was sent out during that famine, that there was no rain. And there were a lot of people in Israel that died. But Elijah was sent to a Gentile widow to be taken care of. Yes, Brother Mitch, Jezebel had shut everything down. And the prophets of God were not accepted in Israel, except for a few that were hiding, and a few that accepted those that were hiding, but they were scared to, everyone was scared. And so Elijah couldn't be taken care of there. Elijah's needs could not be met there. And he sent him to a Gentile widow to be taken care of. And this is what Jesus is reminding them of. Just a few verses down in our text. And he also says, and there were a lot of lepers in Israel too. But who was it that came to Elijah? Because a little servant girl that had been taken captive said to her master's wife, "You know, there's a prophet. There's a man of God. There's a saint of God." That's what it can boil down to today. There is a saint of God. There's a child of God that if you go to them, if you talk to them, this can happen in your life. And that was what was said to Naaman. If you will go to the prophet. And Naaman, the leper, was healed. But the lepers in Israel, they died. And it opened a door in the minds of the religious leaders of that day. And they started a fight with Jesus. And a fight that would last until they stirred up the crowd to yell, "Crucify him." That's how long that fight lasted. They wanted nothing to do with him. They continually sought ways to kill him. When we came to this walk, you may have not had a very good reception among your family members. I know I didn't. They wanted nothing to do with what I had to say. Just like when Jesus pointed out. And what was the response in Luke 4? Just after the reading, when he said, "This day, this is fulfilled in your sight." What did they say? They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Verse 22. They only knew him. They could only see him as the carpenter's son. Grew up right over there. Worked in that shop right there. Oh, he made this for me. Whatever their response was, it was an interaction response of knowing him. And many times that is what we get from our family. Oh, I remember. Oh, I know. I remember when. And we are cut off from our family because they cannot believe what God has done for us, what God did for me. And you want to share and you want to tell them. In my case, I did. And they said, no, if that's all you're going to talk about, then you just don't need to come. We don't want you to come here and talk about that. And I wasn't welcome with my family unless I didn't say anything about the wonderful changes that had happened in my life. Now, things have turned around, but it's been a long time. And so Jesus was not accepted. He was rejected in his hometown. And he moved. He had already set up his ministry something like 20 miles away. I looked it up. It also says, I found a place that it said that, it was 40 miles. Well, it was 40 miles the way Jesus did it. There's now a celebrated Jesus walk on the way from Nazareth to Capernaum. But I also looked just a little bit of history around this, the context of this story here. I looked it up in the chronological Bible, and do you know what Jesus did from that Sabbath to the next Sabbath? He went around and around and walked the way, but on his way, he made it over to the shores of Galilee, and he called Simon and Andrew. So he did ministry. Not a whole lot of it was talked about, but he called Simon Peter and his brother Andrew to follow him. And Capernaum is at the top of the lake or the Sea of Galilee. It's a big lake, but it's called the Sea of Galilee as we know it. And so he went up there, but he had called two of his major disciples on the way, because he was still setting up his ministry of what he was going to do. So if you turn over just a little bit and you look in verse 28. No, that's he went over to Capernaum. And again, it's like 33. And then in the synagogue, he's in Capernaum now. In the synagogue, that there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, and you art the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, and saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were amazed. Now look at the difference here. In a place that Jesus was just barely known, in this synagogue, they were amazed. And so what this is telling us today is that in our ministry, in our ministering to people, in the calling that we all have, We are going to get this. But there are also just over here where you're going to get amazement from people because they are hungry and want to hear. There are those that will want nothing to do with who you are and what God has done in your life, but there are those that have open hearts and open minds to what you have to share with them. They will be amazed at what God has done in your life. They will be amazed at what God will do in their life when you pray for them because they have a need. And the main way to open a door for people is to let our hope shine through. We have hope in a lot of things. We have hope and faith and that, but we have hope in what God has done and will do in our lives. And we have hope of glory. And God will open those doors because when we are struggling, people will see that we still have hope. And they want to know, how can you do this? Do you know why they ask that question? Because they've been through that. Or they're in it right then. How can you do this? And we need to let our hope shine during our struggles. And it will open doors for people to see and look at what is happening in our lives. I said I wanted to look at this from the other direction, and I think I'll do it right here. You see, Jesus opened the door for all. What did he say that you would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world? Thank the Lord, that included me. I was left out. I was left out of the picture until the very end. And Peter struggled. He was okay in Jerusalem. He was okay in Judea. That was stomping grounds. That was where we live. Now, yes, they had persecution there. But that's where he was comfortable. That's where he was comfortable sharing. But Jesus wanted them to reach out. He didn't have quite so much trouble going to Samaria because they had Jewish background. They were part Jews. But we've heard it over the pulpit couple times anyway, fairly recently, that when Peter was sent to Cornelius. Who? Really? Come on, Lord. No, he had to have that dream three times. And Jesus told him three times, if I call it clean, don't you call it unclean. When you're in a group of people, who do you fit in with? Who do you go talk to? I struggle with this because I am pretty shy, pretty quiet, believe it or not. Very introverted. So when I'm in a crowd of people I don't know, I'm going to maybe reach out to someone I feel is like me. Because that's who I'm comfortable with. That's my comfort. But if you go back here and read verse 18, to preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. Deliverance to the captives. And sight to the blind. And liberty to those that are bruised. That's a list of people that you may not be comfortable around. Because you don't get it. You don't have a connection. You don't understand where they're coming from. You might understand, depending on who you are. What I'm saying is that we are often drawn to and connect with people that are like us. Or like us now. Do we remember where we came from? Do we remember what God brought us out of? Now that we're, I will speak for myself, now that we're prim and proper. Not very prim and proper. But you know what I'm saying? God has cleaned us up and changed our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that has happened. But if we are not careful, we will take that and stay over here with those that God has set apart instead of reaching those that may be just like we were. And so the rejection can happen. Maybe it has nothing to do with what they do, but where they're from. Maybe it's the color of their skin. It's the part of town they live in. God help us to not be like that. That if there is going to be rejection, because Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 that Jesus was going to be despised and rejected. And he himself said that there will be a time that you're going to be rejected because you're like me. But if there is to be rejection, let it be that someone doesn't want to hear about us. Not let it us. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't share with you. If there's rejection, let the rejection be of us and not of us rejecting them. Lord Jesus, help us with that. Help us to accept anyone God puts in our path, anyone that sits beside us on a bench and leans over and starts talking and sharing with us. Help us to share and reach them, because that's what our ministry is. That is the most important ministry. And I'm saying that to myself. That is the most important ministry. So God came for everyone. And it took Peter a lot to accept that. Had a hard time. And there was rejection of Paul. A lot of rejection of Paul from his own people. Because of his staid religious belief before his conversion. And because of that, he always felt more comfortable ministering outside of his own people. Let Peter take care of the Jews. Don't you kind of get that sense reading the book of Acts? Oh, just let Peter take care of the Jews. And I'm going to go out here. But as Jesus' habit was, he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath. What was Paul's habit? Where did he start in the cities that he went to? In the synagogue on the Sabbath. But they didn't accept him, and he went out. And he did ministry wherever God led him. We need to do ministry wherever God leads us. No matter how comfortable we are or uncomfortable we are, we need to minister where God leads us. Wherever we're at, God will open doors if we have prayed and asked for open doors. If we are looking for them. Again, I am teaching to myself today. I don't want to say that I'm hesitant, and I'm sharing because you may feel this way too. But I am not a big conversationalist. However you want to phrase it. Chit chat, I'm not any good at it. The gift of gab, that could be labeled that way too. I don't have that. I meet lots of strangers, but I know people that never meet a stranger. They can have a conversation about anything and everything with every person they ever walk up to. Not me. I have to make myself do that. I have to really reach, and God has to... Do you know what I'm saying? Tap me on the head, tap me on the shoulder. Hey, this is an open door right here. You need to say this. Because that's not my natural. That's not what I do naturally. And God, help me get better. Because there was a day that I needed that. I needed someone to recognize that I had a need and share Jesus with me. And every one of us was in that boat. There was a day that we needed someone to share Jesus with us. And even if you were raised in this, there was a day that Jesus needed to put someone in your life. Maybe it was mom, maybe it was dad, but it might have been you needed someone else to share with you. To get that real connection. But whatever it was, that is ministry. That is what God came to do. That is what Jesus Christ came to this earth for, is to seek and to save the lost. And we are Jesus on this earth right now. And our ministry is to seek and to save the lost, however it is. And keep them in. Doesn't do much good. Much, I said. To bring them and get them repented and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and you never see them again. Because God wants us to stay in relationship. And we need to help them stay in relationship. And some would say that's where the work really starts. The easy part is getting them to repent and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost because they have this desperate need of change. But after that, I know that wasn't in the lesson, but that's truth. Even though Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, every once in a while he went back just to kind of test the waters. I'm sure he did. And if you read the story in the Gospels, he did go back to Nazareth. And there was only, I'm sorry, I'm rambling here. But if you need hope for your family, if you need hope for your family, Mary was the only one. His mother was the only one that followed him all the way through. His brothers, they didn't want anything to do with him. That's Jesus, my big brother. They didn't understand. They just didn't understand. They didn't have the word that the angel had put into Mary's heart. And she could stick with him all the way through it. His brothers, they just wanted to have fun with him. They wanted to have a big brother. They needed that physical, natural relationship with him. But they didn't understand his ministry. But James and Jude, the authors of two books of our Bible, were brothers of Jesus. That touchback. And God will open a door for that touchback to work. I don't know how many times it'll take. And I'm convicting myself right now. God help us. Not give up on anyone that he puts in our lives. It doesn't matter how many times we're rejected. If God has put them on our heart, we need to keep going. Amy, this one's for you. You see, people in our lives, people God puts in our lives. Just a minute, we'll get there. We don't know the condition of their heart. We may feel the condition of their heart, but deep down under some really hard stuff. Could be a hunger that God keeps drawing us back to them. Because I believe that the parable of the sower there was hard soil, there was rocky soil, there was soil full of weeds, and there was good soil. I got there, didn't I? You see, any one of those soils can be good soil. Any one of them. It just takes more work for that hard soil to be broken up and fed and changed. Because you're going to go through all of those stages to get to good soil. And our family members could be that really hard soil, especially when it comes to us. But touchbacks are so important, because one of these days, God's going to open a door. There's going to be a need that will break up some of that hard soil in their lives, or pull some rocks out, or pull a weed or two right here. I had to have that done in my life. I had to have somebody that cared enough about me to come pick up a stone or two and throw it to the side. You don't really need this. Pull a weed out here and pull one out here because, oh, that's going to hurt you. If you leave that there, it's going to hurt you. God wants us, no matter how we are received, to keep reaching. To keep reaching for the doors that are open in our lives. Lord Jesus, help us to be who you want us to be. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, help us to reach those that you put in our lives, God, that we can make a change. No matter who they are, don't let us reject them. But let us reach them. Let us touch their lives. And let you do a work in their lives through us. We give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.